So Rav Meir Simcha starts his commentary on Va'era with the four Lashonos of Geula. So let's read the Psukim inside. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Moshe, Va'era El Avram. He tells him that he's coming to be Mekayim the Bris. And he heard the Nakas B'nei Yisrael, he heard their cries. And then he says, L'chein Amar L'vnei Yisrael, Ani Hashem. Number one, Votzeisi Eschem Mitachas Siblos Mitzrayim. Number two, Vitzalti Eschem Yavodosam. Number three, Vigaalti Eschem Vizroin Etuya Veshvatim Gedolim. And number four is Volakachti Eschem Li La'am. Vayisi Lachem Lelokim. Now we also have Vayvesi, but that's not included in the four Lashonos of Geula. And if you have a Lubavitcher Minig, for example, you might drink a fifth cup of wine for Vayvesi, but.
With Kashin.
But as far as the four cups of wine is concerned, those are connected, they correspond to these four Lashonos of Geula. Now, it's not clear whether the sequence is critical in order to set up the four kosos of Geula. In other words, do we drink the four kosos in a way that they parallel each one kiseder of these four Lashonos of Geula? Nor is it clear exactly what the difference is between these Lashonos of Geula. They all sound very similar. I will take you out of Mitzrayim. I will save you from Avodasim, from the work. I will be Goel you. I'll redeem you. I will take you for a nation. Okay, that seems to separate itself. But the other three are quite similar. So Rabbi Simcha takes it upon himself, in terms of his commentary on this pasuk, to try to explain the difference between each one of the four kosos of the four lashonos of Geula, and then to explain how the four kosos that we drink on the night of Pesach correspond to these four lashonos. So without further ado, we start Rav Meir Simcha. Dalad lashonos shel Geula. So in this pasuk, we have four languages. They all are terms that indicate Geula. First, we have Otsesi. And the meaning of Otsesi, he says, the word Otsah has a very specific meaning. And he refers here to a pasuk in Dvarim. The pasuk in Dvarim, as you'll see in the footnote here, says Lakachti, Lakachas lo goy mikerev goy. So when you have one thing that's inside of another, that's called mikerev. Kerev means bekirbo, inside. Then the word that's appropriate, if you want to take that thing that's inside out, is called Votzesi. And Chazal say, Ke'odom shu shomet es ha'ubar mimei behema. So when we talk about pulling the fetus out of its mother's womb, that's because the fetus is inside, it's bekirbo, and now we have to take goy mikerev goy. Okay then, so that's called ve'hotseisi. Ke'ubra mitoch ima, isha. In other words, when you take the uber out of the mother, Zeu hotza, that's the meaning of hotza, kamo lahotzi mi beten. Now lahotzi mi beten is a pasuk in Tanakh. There are a whole bunch of psukim that speak about lahotzi mi beten. There's one in Eov, there's one in Koheles. Over and over again the Torah says, kasha yotza mi beten imo, yotza mi beten imo. You leave the place in which you were was surrounded, so to speak. You leave your surroundings, and that's called hotza. Now, why is it important that the Torah utilize the word hotza here with regard to Yitzias Mitzrayim? We call it Yitzias Mitzrayim, hotza. And the answer is Vitzalti. So that's Votzesi. So Votzesi again, who al shahoyu mishukoyim be'avodazara ubi'idios mushchasos. The idea that we were inside Mitzrayim means more than just physically we were located in Mitzrayim, but that we were inside and surrounded by the influence of Mitzrayim and so much impacted by our society that unfortunately we were mushkoyim b'avodah zarah. That's why Chazal say that at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Malachi Asharis came, at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Malach Yashas came in front of the Ribbono Shalom. Halolu Avdei Avodah Zarah, Halolu Avdei Avodah Zarah. Or the Zohar says that we reached down to the Mem Tesh Shari Tuma. And he says, Yedios Mushchosos, meaning that we had Fakrumta philosophies or beliefs. We weren't really committed to any sort of clarity in terms of religious theology. Now, there's an entire different presentation of Rav Meir Simcha at the beginning of Parshas Shmos on Pakod Pakadati Eschem. If you could remind me, you'd be my memory, that B'li Neder, I'd like to go back to that and see if we could do a comparison later on. But that's not my first item on the agenda. First, I want to go through Rav Meir Simcha, and then we can start comparing it to other statements that he has elsewhere. So that's as far as Votsesi is concerned. If I had the ability, I would ask someone to take out a piece of paper and be a stenography here. And if you could write Votsesi on top and underline it, and that would be your number one. Underneath that would be the concept of Lahotzi Mikirbam, to take the people of Israel out of the inside, so to speak, of Mitzrayim. Then we have number two. And again, he's going in order of the pasuk, because right after it says Ve'otseisi, immediately it says Ve'otsalti. And Rav Meir Simcha puts all the emphasis on the concept of Hatzola. And Hatzola means to save someone from destruction. It means that the Mitzrayim were bent on destroying the people of Israel. And we know that about the Nazis, about Hitler, Yimach Shemo, but we didn't know that about the Mitzrayim, did we? But yes, we did. Because it says, Kol ben hayilod hayorot hashlichman. In other words, the Mitzrayim want to destroy us by first killing our male children. And the feeling was that once we would destroy the male children, Kol ben hayilod, that would destroy the entire people of Israel. They wouldn't be able to procreate. So Veitzalti then is Zemashe Inu Osom Lechalosom. In other words, the affliction was a process, the ultimate goal of which was completely destroy the Jewish people. And therefore the word Hatzola is very appropriate, because the word Hatzola means when you save someone from a murderer. Like, for example, we have a halacha called a Rodef, that there's a Hatzola min a Rodef, that somebody is running after someone else to kill him. And the word for saving that person who is being victimized is Hatzola, Lematzil min harotzeach. So whereas the first element, which is called Votsesi, has to do with the spiritual negative or the pollution of Mitzrayim on Klal Yisrael, and therefore we have to be Motzi Klal Yisrael from the influences of Mitzrayim. Now, Vitzalti is to save Klal Yisrael from physical destruction. The first one, Votsesi, is much more spiritual. The second one is much more physical. Even though you would say that Votsesi, if you take out the fetus from its mother's womb, that's physical. But that's only symbolic of what's going on here. Because why is it Goy Mikerev Go? Why is the concept of Votsesi so precise in describing the redemption from Egypt? It's because Votsesi means when you are part of something else. And of course, in the case of a mother's womb, the entire atmosphere of the mother's womb has an impact on the child. That's why, again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, so don't ask me any questions about this, but the poskim now think that the surrogate mother might be the halachic mother, because we're finding out through scientific experiments that the surrogate mother has a tremendous influence on the fetus. So that influence in the symbolic nimshal, in this metaphor, is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim becomes like the mother, and we are betoch, we are in the kerev ha-goy, goy mi kerev goy. We are inside Mitzrayim, and Mitzrayim is having that impact on us. And that's going to be what we call memtes shari tuma, or for example, Chazal talk about it as if we were ovdei avodah zarah. Were we exactly ovdei avodah zarah? Perhaps yes. Some say we're almost ovdei avodah zarah, but we're definitely influenced by the avodah zarah of Mitzrayim. That's Votsesi. Votsesi is more spiritual. In the case of Itzalti, we're talking about the decree of the Egyptians who were bent on destroying the Jewish people, and that's Hatzolah. Hatzolah means to save you from physical destruction. Now we're up to number three. The Pasuk then goes on to say, Vigaalti. So what is Vigaalti? Now this is really fascinating. I always thought Vigaalti was a reference to some sort of, again, spiritual geula, a redemption in the sense that we are now independent, we can worship our own God, we can develop our own mores, our own religion. But no, says Rav Meir Simcha, the word Vigaalti means termination of avdus. It's almost as if we're talking about a juridic state. We are avodim to Paro b'Mitzrayim. And now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says geula. Geula means you're no longer avodim. We are chafshim, bilti mishubodim. The shibud to Mitzrayim has terminated. And if I could add, again, if I had the ability to add a footnote here, my footnote would say the following. In the Parsha in Bahar of what's called Geulas Bote Orichoma, which means that in certain cases, if I sell you a field, I'm allowed to redeem that field and buy it back within 12 months, so that the purchaser has to realize that when he purchased this piece of land, again, there are many conditions, but when he purchased this piece of land, he has to understand that he's getting it for up to 12 months. Meaning that within 12 months, the seller could actually force the lokeach, the buyer, to take back the money and give back the real estate. And the Torah goes out of its way to use the word vigal. That's called geulas hasode. So we see that geulah has to do with possession, with ownership. And we're talking about changing the ownership on this field. That's geulah. There's another concept which is called pidyon nafsho. So, for example, if somebody could open up to Birkas HaMazon, I think it says something about Pidyon HaNefesh, does it not? Anybody remember Birkas HaMazon? All right. Anyway, in the bracha at the end of Magid, we say, Al Gula Seidim, Al Pidus Nafshenu. So, Pidus Nafshenu refers to the Nefesh, but Gula Seidim refers to the termination of the juridic state of slavery, of Avdus, of Shibu. So that's called Vigaalti. Lios Chafshiyim. Now we have no master who controls our life. Bilti Mishubadim. We're not enslaved to anyone. So what we call independence, I know, for example, here some Jews, many Jews, celebrate Yom Ha'atzmaut, Independence Day. And many will wish each other Geula Shleimah. Have you ever heard that? Again, if you hang out in the B'nai Akiva circles, You'll hear that. I used to be a Rosh Hashiva in Mevaseret. They have there an organization called Kol Meretz. And Yom Ha'atzmaut there is like something from the Arabian Nights. I mean, you can't even imagine what goes on there. I mean, a six-piece band and there are flags flying all over the place. I mean, I could just see what my Rebbe would have said if he was there. But I felt it was very important to expose our students to that so that they see the other extreme. And maybe they'll land up in the middle somewhere. And they used to wish each other Geula Shleima. That was the official. I think they have this in certain Siddurim. They publish a whole nusach for Yom Ha'atzmaut. And I think they say there Geula Shleima. So the word Geula, in the case of Israel independence, is a very appropriate choice of words. Because as Rav Meir Simcha points out, Geula means Chafshiim. Right? As the Zionists say, Lios Am Chafshi. So that's Geula. Geula means independence on a physical level, on a juridic level, in terms of the termination of Shibud of Avdus. And finally, we get to the last of the four Lashonos, and that's Vilakachti. In a sense, that is really unique, and it stands apart from the other three. Vilakachti Eschem Li La'am. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now taking us to Him, and He becomes the Melech. Here's the paradox. On the one hand, we end Avdus, but on the other hand, we begin Avdus. You know, Shibud has terminated. We're no longer Mishubadim to Paro, and that's Vigaalti. And now we get to Vilakachti, in which we become Avodim, but not to human beings, but to Almighty God. Now here Rabbi Simcha adds another phrase here. And he says that this concept of la'am, now watch the word la'am, has a double meaning. On the one hand, it means that God has taken us for His nation, for His special chosen people. And that has to do with Hashem as the Melech over Klal Yisrael. So we declare His Malchus. But on the other hand, the word la'am has another connotation. V'lakachti la'am means that an am he calls nimusi. Nimusi means it has its own system of laws, of mores. Sometimes we translate the word nimus as etiquette. And those are the ways that the people have to live based on the society that they live in. And every country has its own set of mores, its own set of nimusim, its own system of law. And we can only become a nation if we have the ability to set up a legal system. And that's called an am. We become an am only when we have our own independent legal system. That's called nimusim. Ula umi. And we become a nation that has a national identity. So we identify ourselves with la'umiyut, what we call nationalism. And b'mishtar, u'b'seder. Mishtar means we have our own police force. We're no longer part of another country. You know, if I live in any country in the face of the earth, I am absolutely bound to the police of that country. And if you violate the law, you might end up in a Russian jail, if you know what I'm talking about. And there's something called seder. Seder means every nation has to banish anarchy. There's got to be some order, some system, some law. And that's according to Rabbi Simcha what Vilakachti is. But the Am is the description of the nation as a separate independent nation with all its social services, its legal independence. But Vilakachti means that Hashem says, I will be your king. Wow, now Rabbi Simcha faces a great challenge. How do we take these four Lashonos and figure out if they correspond and how they correspond to the four cups of wine that we drink? Now this is all based on the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says in the last parak of Pesachim that Chazal tiknu arba Lashono arba kosa shal yayin kineged arba Lashonos of Geula. That's all it says. It tells you that there are four Lashonos of Geula, and corresponding there are four cups of wine. So we have Otsesi, we have Itzalti, Vigaalti, and Vilakachti. Now Rabbi Simcha says, let's do matching. So if you had that page where you, if you were my stenographer, so you had a list of four Lashonos of Geula, 1, 2, 3, 4, that's on the right column. On the left column, you have a list of the four kosos of Yayin, and now we have to match them up. And it's not going to be sequential, as we'll soon see. Now, what are the four cups of wine? Let's just go through them very quickly. The first kosos is called what? Don't all answer at once. Kiddush. And the second kos is called Magid. The third kos is called Benching, Birkas HaMazon. The fourth is called Hallel. Now keep in mind that the fourth kos, which is the kos of Hallel, is on the second part of Hallel. The first part of Hallel is actually integrated into the second kos, into Magid. Okay, keep that in mind as we go through. So Murray, I think I have a photocopy for you. If you don't find it there, then you'll find it here.
Okay, thanks.
And we're on the left column right now,
okay,
on the first page.
Thank you. Sorry for the little
No, I appreciate that you made the effort to come. And again, we'll send out the word. I know that David Commons would be here, just that he had to go with his wife.
If you want to do it this time every week, I can do it.
Okay, so I'm just saying, it could be, again, Rabarad, you'll have to pass him for us as well, but it could be that we're all pretty much on board. I'm not sure about Ora. She might have some work conflicts, but it could be that we'll be able to do this.
For this time, I have no work conflicts.
Okay. So now, we're up to the first cuss. The cost of Kiddush. Now let's look at our list of the four Lashonos of Geula. Which of them are most spiritual? Because the word Kiddush has to do with spirituality, with his kadshus, with sanctity. So let's take a look at our list. I'm going to go from bottom up. In the last case of Lakachti, Rabbi Simcha interprets that as nationality, as nationalism, of having a country of your own with its own police force, its own legal system. Then we go back to Vigaalti, and it has to do with the termination of Avdus. We're not even up to Avodah Mayinu Lefarav Mitzrayim because we're up to the coast of Kiddush, which is before Avodah Mayinu Lefarav Mitzrayim. Let's go up. We have now Vitzalti. Vitzalti means that we were saved from destruction. What does that have to do with Kiddush? So the only one on this list which could be a good candidate to be to correspond to Kiddush as the first cup of the four Kosos is only going to be Veotzesi, because again, Veotzesi, according to Rabbi Simcha, is not the physical exodus from Egypt, but rather Goy Miker of Goy, the fact that we are embedded, so to speak, in Mitzrayim, like the fetus in its mother's womb. Well, what does the fetus eat? It only eats what the mother eats. So that our entire society in Mitzrayim is influenced by the Mitzrayim, because we are Goy Bekerev Goy. Bekerev Goy means we're in the Kishkas of Mitzrayim. We need a process of Kiddush. We are meant to become the holy people. And over again, the Psukim all over Tanakh identify us as the Am Kadosh, right? And that's why, for example, the Torah says we don't eat this because Vayisem Kedoshim, and we don't eat that. And also in the Parash of Arayas, it says it's Kadashti. We have to leave Tumas Mitzrayim, and that's what Votsesi is all about. Votsesi means to take you out of the Tumas Mitzrayim, and that's Kiddush. But here, Rabbi Simcha goes very far, and I'm very excited about the next piece, Kiddush. Means to sanctify, but it has a much more profound meaning, because we live in a universe that basically has the following dimensions. We have physicality, that's one dimension. We have Makom is a little bit more abstract, it means the location. So you could have a person whose physical body is physical. And then you have location. That's not exactly physical, but that's where the physicality is located. And then you have something called Zman. Zman is totally abstract. You know, Zman is not something that you can touch or feel. You can't even point to it. What do you mean point to Zman? You can point to your clock, to your watch, but you can't point to Zman. Zman is totally abstract. Now, man is called upon, from a Jewish perspective, to be Makadesh. And the greatest Kiddush that man is endowed with, because almost every other Kiddush requires HaKadosh Baruch Hu except for one, and that's called the Moadim. And that is inherent in a mitzvah d'oraisa, which is probably the first mitzvah of the Torah, and that's HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. And that means the Moados. And it's fascinating, because over and over again Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes himself from Kiddushas HaMoados, and he says, you know what, it's up to them. HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. You will be in charge of the calendar. You will determine when is Yontif. You will be Makadish Yontif. In fact, Chazal indicate that if Chas V'Shalom there be a moment in time in which on a certain Yontif there's not one Jew observing the Yontif, then it's not sanctified. So we make the sanctity of Yontif. By the way, there's another sanctity in Zman, but that's totally different. And that's what? Not depend upon us at all. Which one is that? Shabbos is Kvi V'Kayim. Shabbos, the sanctity is up to God, up in heaven.
Every 7 days, no matter what.
Yeah, but in the case of Moedim, we have to be Makadish the Zman. So it's interesting that there's a relationship here between Votsesi and the mitzvah that they're going to get in Parshas Bo of HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem, because Votsesi means I've taken you out of the spiritual influences, that negative environment, that contaminating environment of Mitzrayim, that's Goy Mikar of Goy, and now you are meant to not only Sur Me Rav Asay Tov to be Miskadish, and your Kiddush is going to be measured, almost, demonstrated by that first mitzvah that you're going to get after you leave Mitzrayim, and that's going to be HaKadosh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. It's interesting that mitzvah is given to us in Mitzrayim, even before Votsesi. Mm-hmm. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch wants to tell you that this mitzvah you have to know about in order to appreciate Votsesi. So it's immediately before Votsesi, because HaKadosh Baruch is telling us that now we are going to leave the influences of Mitzrayim, we're going to be sanctified, and therefore the first kos of Yayin, of the four koses of Yayin that we drink on Leil HaPesach, is the kos of Kiddush. And that Kiddush really sets the entire ambiance for what we're doing on the night of Pesach. We are commemorating Votsesi. We are commemorating the spiritual freedom of Klal Yisrael as a result of of this gadshus that terminates that state of halolu avodas or halolu avodas or the mentashari tuma. We're now climbing up to the level which reflects the highest kiddush that you can imagine. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you are in charge of this man. You will tell me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when I should show up on Yom Kippur to be mechaper, on Rosh Hashanah to judge. It is a famous statement in Chazal in the Medrash that what happened was that the Beis Din made a mistake. Initially, they thought a certain day would be Rosh Chodesh, would be Rosh Hashanah.
The Leo Yom Kippur?
No, I'm talking about Rosh Hashanah. That's another.
But that's also.
Yeah, but again, listen carefully, Raz, to this Medrash. The Medrash says something amazing. The Medrash says that Chazal were calculating when Rosh Hashanah would be, because that's HaKodesh Zelach and Rosh Chodesh, right? It's a Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. So what happened was, as they were making this calculation, up in Shamayim, the Beis Din Shalmala started organizing the Beis Din, because that would be Rosh Hashanah. Then the Medrash says they realized they made a mistake, and they postponed Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah by one day. So the Medrash says the Malachim took all the chairs, folded them up, and took them out for the Beis Din Shalmala. And then the next day, they set up. So imagine God's judgment up in heaven depends upon our Beis Din. And that's the Kos of Kiddush. Kos of Kiddush represents, he says, take a look at his language, the Yisrael Makachi Azmanin. We are endowed with a sanctity, and as a result, we can sanctify the time in such a way that God will be kaviyachol, absolutely committed to recognize our Kiddushas Azman, when we determine when this man is. K'mo sha'omru ha'chodesh hazeh lochem. Now, I'm not sure what he means, K'mo sha'omru. That's a famous, you quote a pasuk, to tell me K'mo sha'omru about a pasuk in Chumash is a little bit of a strange language. So if you take a look at the footnote, he says that what Rameir Simcha is hinting at is a Medrash, that Omru means what they, the Chazal, in the Medrash say about HaKodesh HaZeh Lochem. Lochem means there's something very special here, Lochem. And in Shmos Rabbah it says, Lo Nasati Roshei Chadoshim Elo Lochem. So we take the Zman, which is so abstract, and we sanctify it. And that sanctification of Zman is the highest level of Klal Yisrael in a spiritual plane, and that's really what Votzesi is all about. So far in our matching, we can make a line this way, if you follow what I mean. So the first on our list is Votzesi, and the first Kos B'Yayin is the Kos Shel Kiddush, and they correspond one to the other. Now he quotes the Yerushalmi in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. Ein Masai. The Gemara asks, when is the sanctity of Klal Yisrael, when does it reach its apex? Now, I think what's going on in this Yerushalmi, if I'm not mistaken, and you'll be my jury, is that the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael has to be earned. It's not just a gift gratis. God doesn't just bestow upon us Kiddush. You are sanctified. We have to earn it. And Yerushalmi wants to know, how do we earn Kiddusha? HaKadosh Baruch is willing to grant us additional sanctity, but we have to start the process. We have to initiate Kiddusha. So Yerushalmi says, you know how we do that? And this has a tremendous impact on understanding what Mitzrayim is all about and what Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. Kishahem Kiddushim. When we are Kadosh, then Hashem says, I'm going to endow you with extra Kiddusha so that you can sanctify this man with Kiddush. And when are you Kiddoshim? Well, the Pasuk says, Kiddoshim to you. And that means Arayos. So the area of sexual morality, that's where we determine our Kiddusha. And here's the greatness of Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim. Chazal say that although we reached a very low level of Mitzrayim in certain areas of spirituality, but there was one area where we were absolutely exceptional, and that's called Geter Erva. Shebechol Mokon Shatamotzi Geter Erva Tamotzi Kedusha. Whenever you find a Geter Erva, and Klal Yisrael did not mess around with the Egyptian women, that is a Kedusha. That's an expression of Kedusha. And Here I would add in a footnote that that's what Yosef gave us, because Yosef was the prominent leader, or, you know, the trailblazer of Geter Erefa.
I say he was the paradigm for...
paradigm for Geter Erefa. That's the story of Eishes Potiphar. And Chazal say that why were we zochet to Geula? Because Yosef HaTzadik somehow ingrained, or what was penetrated, I don't know what word to use, into the spiritual makeup of Klal Yisrael, Geter Erefa. And that's what we had in Mitzrayim. That was our claim for Kedusha. Otherwise, where's that Kedusha? We were contaminated, we were polluted, we were worshipping idols, not idols exactly, but whatever, we worshipped animals. So we were guilty of Halolo Avodah Zorah and Halolo Avodah Zorah. Mem Tesh Shari Tumah. But one thing we had, and that's the Geter Erev. That's an amazing thing, and it's something that we inherited from Yosef HaTzad. That's why the relationship between the last few parashas of Bereishis and the first few parashas of Shmos, the key of keys to understand the bridge is Yosef. It's all in Yosef. Vayonas hachutza. So Chazal say, why are we zoch to Kriyas Yamsuf? Vayara, what does it say there? On Vayonas? Because Vayonas hachutza. Because of the Geter Erev. That's our claim to holiness. Hashem says, you're holy, I'm going to add a holiness to you. I'm going to give you the Kedusha that allows you to determine Yontif, HaChodesh Elohim, and be Mekadish Lizman. And I'm going to be Meshuvah to your Kiddush HaZman. All because of Geter Erev. Unbelievable.
It's interesting that already in the first generation after you left Mitzrayim, in the Midbar, they abandoned that also.
I'm not sure. You mean to say when it says at the calf, it says that they were Mitzachek.
The women of
Moab. You mean that case, Moab. Yeah. Okay, fine. But the truth is that I'm not sure what percentage, you know, sometimes, and we're going to have it here also coming up, sometimes Chazal makes statements or psukim that indicate like as if every last Jew was, you know, you get the, it's not really so. In any event, you're right, Moav is a tremendous nefilah, I'm not going to deny it.
I just meant to say that the minute the way they...
Vayivaku al mishpochaseyem, you remember that
post? I just meant to say that after they got their freedom, and they were no longer oppressed in Egypt, now that they're in the Midbar and they're...
That could be.
That's when they...
They abused their freedom, right.
Similar to I would say in America, once people were in America and no longer were under the oppression that they used to have in the shtetl of Europe, that's when they start to assimilate.
But here at Meir Simcha, I mean, hold on to your chair, says something amazing. Because again, if I were to ask you who's greater, human beings or angels, I would think, again, maybe you don't agree with me, that angels are by far superior to human beings. Because Chazal say that the angels see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baspaklaria Meira, and they recite Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh from up front. Our Kedusha is just an imitation. We mimic or parrot the Malachim. They have the real thing. We're down here in a physical, limited world.
They don't have even one tough key. They don't have the key of sheep. I mean, they're robotic.
Right. And that's going to be Rameh Simcha, I think. I mean, he doesn't spell this out, but you're probably right. I'm not getting into the whole issue whether angels have Bechirach of Shit, they don't have Bechirach of Shit. That you have to write a PhD thesis on that. It's a good topic for a book. But he says the following: "Ugedolim mimalochi asharis." We are greater than malochi asharis. Again, if we live up to our calling of kedusha, and we are ole lamala, even greater, because the malochim they don't have that temptation of erva. Although there is one parsha that seems to say that they do, but as a general rule, they live as spirits and not bodies. So we live in bodies and we are tempted in Erevah. Therefore, if we overcome that, we have reached a getter of Kedusha that supersedes that of the Malachi Asher. Shenemar Bahen, Shtei Kedushos. With regard to Klal Yisrael, it says a double Kedusha. Viskadashtem v'yisem kedoshim. Hainu, where's the double Kedusha? One is the Kedusha of Geter Erevah, and that's our inner work and overcoming challenges. And number two, now we have another Kedusha, excuse me, that we are able to be Makadish Lizman. Hainu, the second Kedusha, which doesn't exist up in Shamayim, the Malachim can never achieve this Kedusha, and that is Shemekad Shemes Azman. We have the ability to mekadesh the zman. The malachim don't have that ability, and therefore we have that great ability. Now we have two kedushos. When we recite kedusha, we say that God has three kedushos: kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. But our kedusha is v'skadashtem v'isam kedoshim. That's the double kedusha, one that we achieve with our own work. That's the inner kedusha, and the other is that God sanctifies us to such an extent that we have the power now and the authority to be mekadesh the zman v'lachem. Now we go back to Mitzrayim. Kishayim gidurim in arayos b'Mitzrayim. Chazal say that we were very careful about arayos in Mitzrayim. We didn't fall prey to any sort of inclination towards arayos. Therefore, we deserve votsesi. Votsesi means to take us one guy out of the other. We are distinguished, and what distinguishes us is our getter erva. V'im lochein, had we not had this getter erva, then the word lahotzi would be totally inapplicable. Eich yochel lahotzi b'nei nachrios kamosa. Imagine if we would have had relations with the non-Jewish women, and therefore the children, who knows who the children they are, they add mixture of different bloods, and we end up with b'nei nachrios, children of nachrios. And that is considered kamosa. Kamosa means like the mother in this case, who would be the Egyptian mother, and then it would be in such a way that it's impossible to differentiate. We would be so embedded that you cannot imagine hotseis. You can't separate two things that are totally embedded. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of an ectopic pregnancy. Have you ever heard that term? Anyway, what happens is that the fetus unfortunately doesn't go down to the uterus. It gets stuck in the fallopian tubes. It's very, very dangerous. I mean, it's mamish way beyond pikuach nefesh, because once that happens, the whole insides of a woman's body could literally blow up. But what it means is that the fetus cannot possibly grow. You can't take the fetus out. It's totally embedded in the fallopian tubes. And that would be a case where, if chas v'sholom, we had no gether erva, no kedusha whatsoever, we'd be completely, completely lost in Mitzrayim, completely embedded in Mitzrayim. There would be no possibility of otseisi. And he says, "Kumo b'bayis sheni." Now, if you take a look on the next side of your page, at footnote number 15, he says that when Ezra came on the second aliyah, he says, at the time by sheni, "Chatu b'nisuei tarovis." Here's where we have the intermarriage, and therefore we didn't have v'hotseisi. So v'hotseisi is not going to be applicable to that period of time in which we intermarry, because we are totally embedded and mixed up with our blood and their blood. We have no separate getter erva. We are marrying them or living with them, whatever it might be. And I just hope that we won't see the day in which such a so-called Jew will be president of the United States, a Jew who I think is totally embedded with the Nachrim and Hamevin Yovin. But I don't think he has a good chance so far. But things can change overnight.
There's more than one Jew burning
back at this stage.
Yeah, but this one Jew is totally, totally embedded in amongst the goyim. I mean, he can't. There's no votsesi for him. Again, maybe he'll do tshuva one day, but he doesn't even want to give support to Israel at all. He wants to cut off American aid to Israel. That's how far it goes.
I don't think he has a chance personally.
I don't think so. But I'll tell you the truth, Murray, you never know. No, in American politics, things change overnight.
He might have a chance for the nomination, unfortunately. But I don't think he has a chance in November. He's not because of his Jewishness.
Okay.
I follow American politics very, very closely. I'm sort of like addicted to it, you know. So he has no.
All right, right. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have given him. V'nikroim kedoshim mekadshei hazmanim. We are called kedoshim, and the pasuk says, "Israel kedoshim." We are this kadashim v'isam kedoshim. V'isam kedoshim means that we are mekadesh the zman. Okay, we're up to hakofa bet. We're up to vitzalti. Again, vitzalti means to save us physically from utter destruction. The mitzrim had an agenda to completely wipe out the Jewish nation. Itochen lahatzil kishenachri rodef osa. Okay, wow. Now Rabbi Meir Simcha has a real challenge. Which one of the Dalit Kosos, we only have three left, so we're up to Gimel Kosos, is going to correspond to vitzalti, meaning saving us physically. I don't think that Rav Meir Simcha is going to draw a line here straight across, meaning to the Kosheni. And I'll tell you why. The Kosheni is all about the termination of juridic slavery. It's all about Avonim Ayinu Lefarav Mitzrayim. It's all about Geula. Do you follow? I would think that, and I'm hoping that this will come out, that the Lashon of Geula, which we're not up to, that's number three on the list, is going to correspond to the second cuss. Because second cuss is all about Geula in the sense of, Paro says, Harei Atem B'nei Chorin, you're no longer my Avod. But we now have two other kosos. We've got the third kos, which is the kos of Birkas HaMazon, and the fourth kos, which is kos of Hallel. Now, it could be that the kos of Hallel would be a good candidate for Vitzalti, but there's only one problem. That's not the real Hallel that we're looking for. The real Hallel that we're looking for, if you want to talk about Vitzalti, is going to be the first half of Hallel. And I'm going to show you this as we go along. So if my calculation is correct, by process of elimination, it's the third cause of Birkas HaMazon that's going to correspond to Vitzalti. Go figure that one out. What does Birkas HaMazon have to do with Vitzalti? And what's the answer, Abosa? What does any human being need in order to survive in this world?
Food.
Food. You can't live without food. Again, maybe one day they'll develop some way that, you know, we'll have a substitute for food. We'll solve the problem of billions and billions of people who are malnourished. But right now, as things go, we need food. So Birkas HaMazon is a recognition, A, that we have food, and B, where do we get our food from? We get our food from the Almighty God. That's what Birkas HaMazon is about. So now we're at the mode of Hatzalah. Hatzalah means that the Egyptians are trying to destroy us, and God intervenes in order to save us. But here Rav Meir Simcha adds a bomb, mamasha, unbelievable chiddush. He says, Yitochen lahatzil, the concept of Hatzalah can only apply if you have two nations. One is the adversary, and one is the victim. So what you need is Hatzalah from the adversary. There's a Rodef and a Nirdaf. The Rodef is running after you. The Mitzvim are trying to kill you. Hashem has to intervene. But what happens in a case where within the nation itself, one Jew is Rodef another Jew, if you follow what I mean? If there's inner Radifa, then it's not shy to talk about Hatzalah. You can't be Matzil something unless there's a Rodef and a Nirdaf. If the Nirdaf is also the Rodef, that's not called Hatzalah. So he says, Yitochi lahatzil kishenochri, meaning the outside adversary, that nation is Rodef Osam. Umatzil Osam, and then you can talk about Hatzalah, now we're on the second page, which should say Mem Zion on it, I think. Minagayas. Gayas are the martyrs who are coming to destroy you. Avolokishem Rodfim Zedzeh. There's no Hatzalah if they are Rodef Zedzeh. Now keep in mind, Rav Meir Simcha is trying to justify why we were Zocha to Hatzalah. In the case of Hotzah, we were Zocha to Hotzah because of what? Geder Erva. But in the case of Hatzalah, why were we Zocha to Hatzalah? So he comes up with the following answer. Shelo gilu mistorin shebahem. And this is a quote from a Medrash. What does it mean? Shelo gilu mistorin shebahem. There's an amazing statement in Chazal, in the name of Rabbi Yishmael, that although we didn't have any mitzvahs, we couldn't show HaKadosh Baruch Hu any mitzvahs in Mitzrayim. We look like the Mitzvah, we act like the Mitzvah, but there was one area, actually two areas, because we had already Geder Erva, but in addition to Geder Erva, V'lo dibru lashon hara zel ze. Now again, I don't know how to make sense out of this, because if you want to talk about the parasha Dosav Aviram, you know, you're talking about Dalturin, you're talking about Lashon Hara. But Chazal tell us that the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim is because, amongst other things, that we'll start with Geder Erva, because Lo Dibru Lashon Hara Zel Zeh. And my father, Zichron of Yochs, used to talk about a Medrash in Kriyas Yamsut. The Medrash says that the 12 Shvatim each had a pathway, and there was water between one pathway and the other. So let's say if you were in Shevet Shimon, so you had a chom of mayim that separated you from Shevet Reuven on one side and Levi on the other side. And Chazal say in the Medrash that the water was transparent, that you could see that Reuven could look at Shimon, Shimon could look at Reuven and Levi, and so forth and so on. So my father asked, "What was that all about? Well, why did Chazal have to point this out?" And he said, "Because everyone was concerned about the other one. You know, this was 3 million people, men, women, children, going out of Mitzrayim. They were in the middle of this pursuit, and they were going into the Yamsuf. There were 7 and 12, but each tribe was able to see, and each individual, what was going on in the other." And we see a concept here that's amazing, because when you talk about caring, when you talk about unity amongst the people, brotherhood and harmony, you don't immediately identify that as a religious concept. You don't immediately feel that that's the reason why we zochah to geula. But says Rav Meir Simcha that vitzalti is absolutely impossible if not for this. I'm not interested in whether you're wearing tzitzis or tefillin. I'm interested in how you treat your fellow Jew. Do you care about him? And that's Rav Meir Simcha. I think we're going to see this over and over again as we learn Rav Meir Simcha, Mitz Hashem, that he puts a tremendous emphasis on unity, on brotherhood, on what we call caring one for the other. And here's a beautiful example. And he says, "V'zeh romes al." Just let me finish one thing, and then Rav Aaron, you take over. "V'zeh romes al kos birkas hamazon." Why birkas hamazon? What is it about birkas hamazon that indicates that I care one for the other? After all, birkas hamazon means I recognize that God nourishes me. I recognize that my source of food comes from the Almighty. Says Rav Meir Simcha. And again, I don't understand this, so you'll have to help me with this. He's giving me a psychological insight which I don't understand, but hopefully you'll understand it. She'ikar malshinus. What is the source? What is the root of malshinus? Malshinus means when I speak against you, I malign you, I snitch on you, I don't care about you. What is the source, the root of it? Huba, it's a result of heder emuna behashgacha. In other words, I am basically jealous. Why do I speak ill of you? Why do I try to malign you? Because I'm not comfortable with myself. Because I don't feel a sense of I am where I should be and this is what I deserve. I'm constantly thinking I deserve better. And I look here and I look there and I see Yenim, I see Reuven and Shimon, I see they have better than I do. So I start maligning them. We belittle people in order to build ourselves up. So we say, okay, maybe he's a rich guy, but he's this, he's that, and the other thing. So we give him all the appellations and all the descriptions. That's the shorish of Malshinus. If only we realized that everything that we have in life comes from his great hand, his with a capital H. If we had the amun and hashgach that God is giving me whatever I need, as we say every morning, osali kol tzarki, if we would only be satisfied and satiated with what we have, that's called midas ha'estapkus, then we wouldn't speak lashon hara. The root, he says, of enmity between one Jew and another is this jealousy, is this fact that I'm not satiated, I'm not happy with my station in life, and I'm always asking myself, why is it that Yenim, you know, he on the left and he on the right are doing better than me? So where does Birkas HaMazon guarantee that we won't be Malshinim, that we won't be unsatisfied and unsatiated with what we have, we'll be complainers and we'll look to the left, to the right and start putting down people, belittling them in order to build up ourselves? Birkas HaMazon, Hu Shemamin. There are two dimensions to Birkas HaMazon. Number one, Shemamin, he believes, Shekol Echad Nizon Me'Hashem Yisroch. This is what we call Poseches Yedecha. Where is the food coming from? It's coming from Almighty God. But number two, Midas Haistapkus. Now here again, I didn't look in the footnote, but I think I'm going to guess what he's going to say. If he doesn't say it, we'll write the footnote. Histapkus means V'achalta V'savata U'berachta. The whole concept of Birkas HaMazon is predicated on one concept, and that's Svia. What do you mean Svia? I'm satiated? She gave me a piece of healthy fish. Okay, very good, it's healthy, but I don't feel satiated. That's vegetarian, that's an entree. Where's the meat? Where's the steak? And where's the dessert? I want 15 desserts. But if I can be satiated and be happy with what I have, then I'm ready for v'chalta v'savata berachta. And once I'm happy with what I have, because I realize that this is what God gave me, and asli kol tzarki, then there's no malshinus. Then I don't have to look here and there and start maligning this one and maligning that one. An amazing chiddush of Rav Meir Simcha. And therefore he says, Ubirkas HaMazon, which is again the third kos, that's connected to Vitzalti, because Birkas HaMazon is going to guarantee, if only we say it with the right kavana, that God will save us, because God will only save us if we are near Dafim. But if we're Rodfim and we run after one after the other with Malshinus, we don't have a chance for Yitzalti. And therefore Yitzalti is totally dependent upon Lo Dibru Loshen Hara Zelze Shemedagdikim Al Atzma. Oh, here's a beautiful, beautiful insight of Rav Meir Simcha. How much do you have to eat? What's the shear of pas, of bread, in order to be obligated in Birkas HaMazon? Anybody know?
It debates, the Gemara says.
On a Doraisa level, it's Kebetza, because it's got to be Kedei Sviya. This is Rav Meir Sheet. Again, Rav Yudas, but Midrabanan, even if you only eat water, Kezayis, in other words, we're saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for us, this is Sviya. Objectively, Kezayis is not Kedei Sviya. I'm potter for Birkas HaMazon, but I'm going to take it upon myself to be Mavarech, because I consider this Kedei Sviya. That's called Midas HaStapkus. Shemedagdikim Al Atzman, Kezayis u Kebetz. Again, Kebetz has to do with the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, but Kezayis is the sheet of Rabbi Meir. This is a Sugyan Brochus, I think it's on Lamed Hey. Let's see if he quotes it.
What's the difference of size? Kezayis.
Kezayis is approximately an olive side. Now, right. Olives are a little bit small. I mean, if you go to Osher Ad, you know, you could see bigger olives.
I think in the old days, in time of Gemara, olives were bigger.
Wow,
I heard that once that in those days is not kezayis of today.
Right, niskatnu ashiurim, I think.
So, and kebetza would be how big?
Kebetza is the size of an egg. An egg is probably, I wouldn't say twice the size of an olive, but close to. So if you take a look in Dr. Frank's book, you know, which is called Practical Talmudic Dictionary, you'll see exactly in volume, I think, the kezayis is, I don't remember right now.
It's a picture book called Kezayis that shows you exactly if every item of food, how much kezayis.
How much it is.
Did you see that book?
No, I never saw it.
It's a picture book of a pretzel, how many pretzels have been eaten.
Okay.
When we're eating matzah and they see kezayis of matzah, it's like almost the whole matzah, which is like seems a lot more than an olive. Right. You know what I mean? It's like you have to be sitting there stuffing your face with matzah until you get a kezayis in there. It just seems like it's just a lot of matzah.
So look at Rav Meir Simcha's theory of it. It's an unbelievable chiddush, a thesis. He says that when we accept it upon ourselves to take a strict view and recite Birkas HaMazon when the Torah says we're not obligated to Birkas HaMazon, basically what we're doing is we were destroying jealousy. What does it mean we're destroying jealousy? We took upon ourselves to bench on a kezayis. What that means is that we are henceforth declaring that for us a kezayis is kedei sviya, because the Torah says v'chalta v'savata. And therefore if we feel kedei sviya, we're satisfied with what we have, that's midas hastapkus, then there's the last three words in the paragraph, v'eino mekane l'chavero, and he's not jealous of his friend, he's happy with what he has. So basically, Rabbo say the solution to all our problems, all our evils, in the area of Benon l'chavero, is to feel satiated and happy with what we have. If we can reach that madrega, then eino mekane b'chavero, and there won't be any malshinus, there won't be any lashon hara, and we can have a very happy, unified, and harmonious relationship of the nation of Israel. If you take a look in footnote number 20, he says, "Ubazelo yagieli de cheta malshinus." If you can accept a smaller amount of a kezayis and feel satiated, declare that you're satiated, you're ready for Birkas HaMazon, then there's no malshinus. This will undermine malshinus. So it's very fascinating to me. You know, if I were writing the Chafetz Chaim's book on Shmiras HaLashon, and as an introduction, I was going to talk about the terrible, terrible evil of Lashon Hara. And you know that one day a year, the Chafetz Chaim Foundation has a whole day in which they fight against Lashon Hara, you know, with all sorts of lectures. And what is the root of Lashon Hara? So I would have given you, you know, I would have said, I would have said this, I would have said that, you know, I didn't like what you did, you know, you
not
didn't look.
Not believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he gives each person.
Excellent. A whole other perspective. If we would only believe that whatever we have is what was again, I'm not telling you this is easy, Rav Osser. I'm far away from this Madriga personally. You guys are on a higher Madriga than me. Very challenging. To believe that whatever I have, this is what I was meant to have. And it's all part of a divine plan. And to appreciate that. And that's emunah in hashgacha, and that's the midah v'stapkus. To get to that level is a tremendous challenge. But that's the secret of overcoming lashon hara, banishing lashon hara. I never would have said such a thing. And now to put it into Mitzrayim and say that all the statements in the Medrash and Chazal that we were zocher because to Yitzias Mitzrayim because of lo dibra lashon hara zelzeh, and then to say that that's what Vitzalti means. The only way we could have achieved Vitzalti is lo dibra lashon hara zelzeh. Moshe Rabbeinu thinks that it's all over. Do you remember he goes out and he hears the lashon hara? And he says, now I understand why God put us into this terrible matzah. Why would you? And he really is almost ready to give in and throw in the towel because we don't deserve vitzalti. Because vitzalti means, as we said before, this is again Rav Meir Simcha's originality, that there's got to be a rodef and a nirdef, but the nirdef itself has to be an entity. If the nirdef is a rodef, and each person is being rodef his friend, then there's no atzolah, and there's no vitzalti. And now the pasuk which has number two on the list, which is Vitzalti, that's the kos shlishis, that's the kos of Birkas HaMazon. Everything about Birkas HaMazon is a motif, it's a midah, an attribute that will guarantee the end of Malshinus and will be Zoche Mirza Shem to Vitzalti. That's Rav Meir Simcha.
Is that that's going out of order?
Out of order. Totally out of order, because we're now matching number two, which number three. Do you follow what I mean?
Is he going to work out why it's in the wrong order?
I don't know. It could be. I only got to the four Lashonos, so I'm not sure. There's another whole paragraph here which I didn't even get
to. Isn't that problematic? Those of it's going out of order. Why?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think he's saying that the four Lashonos represent four concepts, and Chazal and Mesakein can connect each one of these concepts another kos of Yayin.
Right.
Let's go back to Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says that Dalid Kosos can connect Dalid Lashonos. It doesn't say anything about the sequence in the pasuk. Now again, I think, Rabbi Aaron, your question is excellent in Parshanut, meaning, according to Rabbi Simcha, that each one of the four Lashonos of Gula in this very same pasuk is indicative of some sort of concept, and another reason why we were Zochet to Gula.
Why would it be put in that order?
But I don't think that has to do with the Dalit Kosos. So let's go now to the third Kos. Now, once we get to the third Kos, we only have two options. Right? Either the third Kos is, again, here is where I need your stenography, it's either Keneged Vigaalti or it's Keneged Vilakachti. Correct? That's all we're left with. Vigaalti is the termination of Avdus. And I'm pushing that he will say that that's the second Kos. Because the second kos is all about Avodah Mayinu and it terminates with Baruch Atah Hashem, Gal Yisrael. And then the fourth kos somehow magically is going to be Keneged, V'lakachti Keneged, the second half of Hallel. And we'll see about the second half of Hallel. Okay then? So I'm just going to keep you for another 5 minutes. And he says the following, V'ga'alti, who, She'eved Rucho Shfela, Ad ki amru chovu li evet sheyase ben chorin zilale shchichale. It's unbelievable. The evet gets so used to being an evet, to being enslaved, he loses his independence, he loses his sense of self, he gets so rooted, you know, just engraved in this shiflus that He lives a certain kind of lifestyle based on shiflus. He hangs around with the shfachos, and therefore, if you want to free the eved, don't think that you're working for his best interest under the law of what's called zachul yadav shel b'fana, because he's gotten so used to the shiflus and that low way of life, he is addicted to that, and he's very happy with that. V'zeh mitzad she'eino margish yachas avosav. Again, Rav Meir Simcha is introducing a whole new psychological principle. If you ask me, I think he's a psychologist. And he says that shiflus is a result of the fact that you have no yichus. The Eved has no yichus. A person who's a ben chorin, he is the son to his father, to his grandfather, and so forth and so on, going back for generations. Here is where we have Allah of Eved Leslei Chayes, which I think is the Gevurah Gittin, let's see if I'm right, 23. He said it's a Gemara in Yevamos. Okay, I thought I remembered it from Gittin. In any event, Eved has no Yichus. Oh. Now, imagine the situation of Klal Yisrael. If you're an Eved, then your name becomes really insignificant. At some point, your whole identity, your whole self-image is just one of shiflus. You have no identity, you have no name, you have no yichus. What's unique about Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim? V'hein lo shinu esh mosehen. Chazal say they didn't change the name. Why? Why didn't they change their names? Zochru yachas avosehen. Their fathers gave names, and we're going to maintain those same names. Reuven, Shimon, Nachtin, Vesalkin. Those who went down to Mitzrayim were Reuven and Shimon, and those who went up from Mitzrayim at the time of the Geula were also Reuven and Shimon. It's very interesting. If you take a look in Chazal tell us what names the Jews in Egypt rejected. Take a look at footnote number 24. Based on a Medrash Rabbah. Apparently, there was a popular name in Mitzrayim. I don't speak Egyptian, so I don't know. And I don't think Egyptian is Arabic, by the way. I'm talking about ancient Egypt. There was a name Pupa. There was a name Lulini. There was a name Listiv. All sorts of different names. Each one has a certain connotation. And we refuse to accept those names. And I can't tell you, to this day, I am absolutely flabbergasted, amazed at a certain religious community, I don't want to mention their name, and they take on non-Jewish names. And it's part of the culture. I mean, again, you'll think about it. If you come from Brooklyn, you might know who I mean. But it's a certain community that are Ralphs and Steves and worse names than that. And the Chazal say we were zochet to Geula from Mitzrayim because Shol Shinu Eshmoseim. And why is because we had a tradition. We were somehow committed to our fathers and our forefathers. That's why I say to my children, you want to come up. Today the style is to come up with new names for babies.
Name what?
The style is to come up with new names for babies.
Right.
You know, Rachel Leah just doesn't go anymore. You know, you got to come up with Avitals and Yael's and all the rest.
Or Yael.
Yael, and whatever you...
Yael is a...
No. That's exactly my point. That's exactly my point, Murray. What I'm saying is... that what I tell my children is, okay, you want to come up with new names, but do me a favor, leave out us not, and all, you know, that's not my style, you know what I'm saying? You want to come up with Yael, you want to come up with Avishag, you know, Chazal say that she was a great tzaddikas, and I can go on and on and on. There are new names, there are plenty of names, Feldmishkin names, we're not missing any names, but don't pick up a name that I don't know where it comes from, honestly. I don't know. Now, Reb Chaim, you know, the Sarah Torah, as they call him today, he's very machped on this. He will tell you when you come for a bracha whether he accepts your name or not. And if he doesn't like your name, he'll tell you to change your name. So, God forbid, I warn you, if your daughter's name is Shira, and you want to get a bracha from Reb Chaim, she's going to walk out with a different name. Because he says that Shira is not a name. And there are many other examples of this. But Chazal say lo shinu eshma. They weren't called Pupa and Lotinas and all these names. And that was a commitment to yichus, to tradition, to a transition from generation to generation. Eliyahu HaNavi, it says about Eliyahu HaNavi, the heshiv leif avos al banim. And I saw once in Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Hutna says that Amalek is all about wedging between one generation and the other. The entire agenda of Amalek is to break up the continuity of generation to generation. So therefore, v'ga'alti means you want to get rid of avdus, because ge'ula again is the termination of avdus. Avdus means that we have yichus, meaning we don't have yichus, but after ge'ula, we will now retain our yichus.
But, so my question is, even in Mitzrayim, but the names they did come up with, where did they get them from? They weren't They
where did the Egyptians get it from? You
know? The Jews, Aaron and Miriam. Where those names come from? They weren't. They were names that they were made up. I mean,
in other words,
they didn't come from Abraham and Yisrael.
Right.
Some of these names
came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like, for example, Moshe had many names, and they all came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and each name had a meaning to it. Each name had a kedusha and a separate indication of what your essence is and what your avoda is. And now, if I name my son Aaron today, it's because of the Aaron of Moshe's Aaron, right? If you know
right,
what I mean.
But his day was
HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the divinely ordained.
I mean, the Pinchas, and I mean all, you know, these things.
Right, all these names have meaning to it. Every single name has meaning to it, and it has meaning beyond what you and I could comprehend. And it's all divine. And we get Ruach HaKodesh. By the way, Chazal say that when a parent names a child, if they have the right kavanas, they will get a Ruach HaKodesh. But again, why is this a remes to Kosheni? So Berzon told you that this is a remes to Kosheni, because Shoni is all about Geula, it's all about the termination of Avdus, where Meir Simcha is not happy. Thank you, Berzon, but no thank you. What's about Kosheni? Sha'omrim Olav Chatzi Hal Arishon, because of the first half of Hal. B'tzeis Yisrael B'mitzrayim, that's the first half of Hal. What is that all about? Shemiyusad al zichron yachas ha'uma me'avosera v'zichrorosera kodmos. This is very profound. You could probably write an entire Haggadah based on this one insight of Rameir Simcha in less than one line. And he says that the entire Hallel, if you read it carefully, and again we would need hours to do this, is all about remembering what the Avos and the Imos gave us. It's all about memory. It's all about retrospection. Rav Soloveitchik always talks about a Jew living in three different time dimensions. And this time dimension, which is called Hal HaRishon, means living in the past. Why do we live in the past? Who wants to live in the past? We want to live in the future, right? But the answer is that the past has to endow us with the energies to project us to the future. If we're not rooted in the past, then who are we? We are a nation that has no avos. You know, people say that Israel's a new nation. Well, the United States is also a new nation. How old is the United States now?
240 years old.
New nation, right, compared to other nations. And Israel's only, what, 70... What are we up to, 71, 72? I forget. Whatever it is.
71.
Oh, that's not true. We are an ancient people. If we are dedicated to our yichus, to our avos. Those Israelis who want to say, well, we're a brand new nation, we're cutting off from the past, new names, new culture, new mores, new legal systems, that means cutting yourself off from the past. The greatness of Israel is when we can build from the past towards the future. But we have to be, and that's what Hal HaRishon is all about. Finally, and I'll let you go, V'lakati Eschem Lila'am, is Shaloshinu Es L'Shonam, they didn't change their language. Remember, he said that Malakati is La'am, that we should be an independent nation with our own Seder, with our own Mishtar, with our own laws, with our own mores, and with our own language. And here Yosef becomes the paradigm, because the Pasuk says, Ki pi hamidaber aleichem, which means that Yosef represents the anticipation and the hope for the future. Yosef says we must maintain our own unique language. Now we seem to be batel mevutel in Mitzrayim, but we are an Am. We are a nation unto ourselves. And that freedom to be an independent nation is v'lakachti, and that's the second half of Hallel. V'zeu chatzi ha'halel ha'sheni. So here we get a line straight across, because the fourth of the Lashonos corresponds to the fourth of the Dalet Kosos. Shal ze ne'ma min ha'meitzar, just one second. Evan Masu Abonim, Hoysel Rosh Pino, Zayomas Hashem Nigilus Chavo. We are, so to speak, an Evan at Masu Abonim. Now we become Rosh Pino, we become a separate independent nation. And well, how does it go? Min ha'meitzar, what comes next? No, I don't think so. I need a sitter. I didn't realize I should bring a sitter to class. Do we have a sidur yet? Just a. Yeah, can you open up the halil for a second? Mechuvar adalid kosos dilus avid b'chol chad mitzvah. This is what Chazal mean, that they organize four kosos to do a mitzvah on each one of the four kosos, because each one of the four kosos represent a different aspect of geula and a different aspect of the whole process of redemption. Oh, you were right. Yeah, I don't remember that the whole pasuk is quoted. Yeah. Mina mesa karasi ka anonim b'merchav ka. And all this, he says, is about the independence of our nation, and it culminates with Hoysel Evan Masu Abonim Hoysel Rosh Pina. That independence is corresponds to the Lakati Lachem song. Okay, then Rabbi said we did about half of what I prepared for today, but I think we did a lot. I hope you enjoyed it. I got a lot out of it, if not you. And Mirza Hashem, we'll see if we could organize this for next week as well, because that takes a tremendous burden off
What's your schedule?